Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on right. Jim. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
I don't think so.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, presented by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We're learning a lot about each other.
We got Homer, Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
We have...
Pessimist Molly.
No. Realist.
And then contrarian.
Total.
Jim Rutledge here.
Jim's an onion. You got to peel back the layers to get to the good part.
Love, Goff, and Darnold are unique names. Williams is a very generic name.
Almost as generic as Brown. I totally understand.
Could it be possible you guys are the best show in ESPN Wisconsin, the whole state?
Yeah, obviously.
It's possible. Crazy. Anything's possible.
You're the best.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside gold medalist Matt Hamilton and downtown Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is Wildy and Tausch, the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover. I am Jim Rutledge. We are the normal host of Jim, Matt, and Molly, weekdays 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison. We are taking over for Wildy and Tausch. They get the day off. I'm not exactly sure why. Wildy's going to be joining us in a little bit, but I'll take it. I like the earlier time slot. I like the being able to be on in Madison, Milwaukee, and Beaver Dam. We are on early. The Bucks take on the Pacers, a 4:30 pregame here on ESPN Madison and a WTMJ in Milwaukee. And if you are in the Madison area, we are obviously your home in Milwaukee Brewers, but today's game against the White Sox, 7-win White Sox, so good God, you better win that game. We'll be on 1670 The Zone. Matt Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist, and Molly Brown with me. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. You can get into the show on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. This is more. We have a few siding limited poll questions. The one that Evan Cohen asked when he was on, inspired by Molly Brown, you took one of your sons in for a haircut, and you were tempted to ask for a LaFleur. So the question was, would the barber know what you mean if you asked to get a LaFleur cut in the state of Wisconsin? And I would say probably, depending on, I feel like he's been around long enough. I don't think his hair is famous. Like, you could have called it just generic guy in his 40s cut. Like, it's a very common cut, but LaFleur looks really good with it. It is very, what's the word? Like edged and kind of cut tight, and it's got the part. It's a very modern guy for his age haircut. It's not anything extraordinary. It's not like, you know, Matt Hamilton, when he wants to, can have great hair. You got the, for me, I'm
when he wants
what are you
to?
Saying?
Well, right
My
now it's just
goodness.
Kind of pulled up, you know, like, but if you like when you're out curling,
I think the man bun looks great
in the Olympics. Yeah. So like if I had my choice and I'm someone with less hair, like I would rock Matt Hamilton's hair. Like if I had, like, truly great hair, in my opinion, is hair like Matt Hamilton has. And maybe we can ask that as another poll question. Who has better hair, Matt Hamilton or Matt LaFleur? Because if I was just allowed to pick a head of hair, and I at one point had enough hair to have long hair, like, long hair is a flex. Like, long, thick hair for a guy is a flex.
I'm just picturing you with long hair right now.
Yeah. It's
not that pretty.
But I did look good with it. It was a good look. But it's a flex, though.
It's a flex?
To be able to grow long hair that looks good, and like, you know, Greg Scales out for a while. Like, Matt LaFleur's cut is a good cut, but like, most people can get that cut and look good with it. Like, most people cannot grow long hair as a guy and have it look good. And so I'm always more like, Pete Carroll's got impressive hair to me. Rex Ryan back in the day, like, having that long hair is impressive to me. Like, that's a flex. Yeah. Matt LaFleur's got the same cut that I feel like 60% of male Packer fans have.
I think if it looks good on you having long hair, it's a flex. But if it's like, you just look like you have long hair and you should probably just cut it, not a flex. Also, Josh DiMaggio chimes in and said that it's called lined up.
Lined up, that's awesome.
So I believe, and I have no idea, but if I'm making assumptions, I think that Matt LaFleur is probably getting his hair cut every 3 days or so. Like, that is how
I was gonna say once a week
it is.
And how expensive do you think that cut is?
Oh, I mean, there's places around here that you're paying. Probably. I mean,
if not, he brings a barber in to Lambeau.
I know Chicago's talked about it before. They have a team barber they bring in for the players at least. during the season.
How much do you guys pay for? Well, Matt, I guess you don't pay for haircuts, but Jim, no, like $50 for
a
guy's haircut?
So I adjusted. I found a place in Oregon. They were up for Best of Madison, just like we're up for Best of Madison for radio teams. So like I found them in Oregon, I go there. So now I only pay $30 with tip. I was paying, I think, $50 to $60 with tip.
So I would assume if Matt LaFleur is having somebody come in, it's got to be at least $100.
That's kind of what I was thinking. $100 a cut, not including tip.
And he might get his eyebrows waxed each time, too. I'm not sure. Or threaded. I did that the other week. Oh, my God. Hurt.
Okay.
I went to a real salon and got, like, an adult haircut. They did, like, the...
normally I just go to,
like, a cost cutters or, like, just buzz it down and we'll grow it out again. Like, I'm not looking for a style. One time I actually had it styled, like, by a real barber. A stylist, if you will. Yeah. And I had, like, the shave, the hot lather and everything like that. $100.
Easy, yeah.
And that was, like, 2018. So mm-hmm. I'm sure LaFleur is paying $100.
It's like $1 million now with tariffs. So, like, with... before we take a break, to Jason, what's threading?
I don't really know.
You just, like, just do it.
I've gotten it done before, but I hadn't gotten my eyebrows done in literally, like, a year. I know it's crazy, but, like, I have very blonde hair, so it doesn't matter. Like, you can't see all my hair, but I can. So I got them done. And, like, I think what they do is literally take a string and go, like, tie a knot, lasso your hairs, and pull out each individual hair. Like, I think that's how they do it. I have no idea. But they did it in, like, 5 minutes, and I was out. But I was crying during it. I've been getting my eyebrows waxed since I was in eighth grade. So I think I was 13, 14, whatever it is. And like at this point, I'm a champ, even though my skin turns red every single time. But oh my God, I was literally crying. The girl had to stop and she was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." But
it's
like,
not your fault.
It hurts. But that's what they do. They lasso your hairs off your eye.
LaFleur's getting stitched. What's the word?
I mean, not stitched. Threaded.
Threaded, that's it.
Stitch is something else, I think. But yeah.
Different issues. So John Audius does chime in, Badger Volleyball, play-by-play. He says having long hair, and he does have great hair as well, but I think he also had longer hair. It gets old after a while, having to wash it.
Yeah, it's a pain.
All right. We'll ask Wildy. I feel like, you know, he might have an opinion on hair. We have Jason Wildy coming up for a couple segments here. This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like, I feel like it.
Desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wildy is on Jim, Matt, and Molly's takeover of Wildy and Tausch.
What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
What's up with that? That is Jason Wildy's theme music on Jim, Matt, and Molly when he joins the show. But this is his show. It is Wildy and Tausch. It is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch. Matt Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist. I am Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown with you. And we are in the Everlight Solar Studio with primetime Waller Scheinman. I was informed, Jason, that you were at least listening a little bit to the last segment here. And Evan Cohen joined us earlier. And if you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. But he prompted us to ask the question that if you went to a barber in Wisconsin and asked for a LaFleur, would they know what it is? So, because that was Evan's biggest takeaway, that Matt LaFleur won the weekend because he had great hair and looked fantastic at our trio houses. So, Wildy, welcome, and your thoughts on Evan Cohen's take on the beauty of Matt LaFleur.
Well, I just I'm not going to comment on who won or lost the weekend based on their hair, because definitely I'd be a big loser on that one.
Same.
Especially since when we said I looked at some of the pictures that were taken of our Q&A session with LaFleur, and multiple times they caught me with this look of like, you know, indignation, like, you, what are you talking about, kind of a face, which I don't think I was actually making based on what he was saying, but nevertheless, I'm glad they got his good side. I wish they would have gotten my good side, which would have, I think, been from the back. But here's the thing that's crazy. So Tom Brady mentioned this on one of the broadcasts, and I can't believe that he said this LaFleur's, I swear, LaFleur's going to start going to these production meetings and just stand mute. Because remember, there was the story during the playoff game against San Francisco that he said that when Anders Carlson trots out onto the field, he prays.
Yep.
Which he said in jest, but Tom Rinaldi took it as gospel and reported it. And by the way, he may have said it in jest, but there's always a little bit of truth to a joke. then there was the one about Dontavian Wicks, where he told Buck and Aikman flat out, don't say this on the air, but he reminds me a lot of Devontae Adams. And of course, Buck and Aikman said it on the air. So then this past season, he talked to Brady at some point and informed Brady, who is a well-groomed, well-coiffed fellow, that he spends $100 a week on his appearance. And Brady told that story on the air. So I believe he is shelling out $100 a week. So I heard Molly say that he's getting his hair cut every few days. I'm guessing, and to your point, Jim, they do have an on-staff barber. They started doing that when they realized that they needed to be more thoughtful of African-American players because there weren't a lot of African-American barbers in the greater Green Bay area when I started covering the team in 96. And there's more now, and this is a different city than it was 25 years ago or 30 years ago when I started covering the team. But I am sure that his guy is... I don't know all the hip phrases that you guys were discussing in terms of appearance, but he gets tightened up or whatever it might be on a weekly basis.
Speaking of the city of Green Bay.
It's lined up.
It is lined up.
Yeah, I heard you say that, but I don't believe you. And when's the last time you were lined up, by the way?
You're the least lined up on the show.
Yeah, he's just quoting Josh DiMaggio, who did text in, who will take Josh's word
and
for it.
And I'm also like, I don't live under a rock.
You didn't say it earlier. I'm giving credit to Josh DiMaggio.
Josh DiMaggio brought it to our attention, but he's right. That's the way you say it now.
No, you live under a curling stone.
Waka waka.
Hey, I love Fozzie Bear now. Come on.
Jason, you mentioned the city of Green Bay. How do you think that they showed out this weekend for the NFL draft?
Well, I'm not a business owner, but apparently, as I've been reading this morning in our various Green Bay outlets, the business owners are pissed because this was a very much a local event. And I said that with affinity and respect and pride of our fellow Wisconsinites and of Packers fans. But I think the local business owners feel like they were sold a bill of goods, that there were going to be, you know, these thousands upon thousands of people coming in from out of the greater Wisconsin area, and they were going to have this great economic impact. I believe it was sold as $20 million for the Green Bay area and $94 million for the state, and I don't think that materialized. I think as I watched, you know, you mentioned being at the Tundra Trio. As I watched fans go by that corridor, it was 80-85% Packers fans in green and gold. Certainly there were fans of every team that came past, but I found myself wondering during the telecast, did ESPN and NFL Network really have to strain to find fans of each of the 31 other teams to show on television? So I know that they had done – I'm a big fan of the food truck – although my favorite food truck with Ashton Rotman and Rot's Hots has retired with his hot dogs. But I love those. I love supporting those. There's a couple of them at the Green Bay Farmers Market every week. Apparently they did like a food truck like area downtown with a bunch of them. And nobody went to downtown Green Bay. Maybe you were staying at the hotels down there and stopped and grabbed a bite, but I was just watching something on WBAY up here. Like, there's all these all these business owners were like, that we either got no bump or we actually lost money because we extra staffed expecting it. So from that perspective, that's not a reflection of Packers fans and Wisconsinites. That's a reflection of there weren't that many people that said, hey, you know where I want to go in April for the NFL draft? I want to fly to Green Bay, Wisconsin. So it was a dominantly Wisconsin folks that could drive and spend the day here. And from that perspective, they showed out amazingly. I mean, to have that 600,000 number, now again, if Matt Hamilton was one of them and he went all 3 days, he counts as three people. But still, that number is a gigantic number considering that the population of the city of Green Bay is 107,000. Then you've got DePere and Howard and all the little suburbs. But still, really impressive. But the business owners, I don't think, are overly happy.
Well, and I did hear, I think, was it Molly and then someone else was saying, I think Ryan, that they stopped asking people to count in for the draft too. So that's 600,000. How many of those are unique? To your point of businesses, what kind of boom do they get? How many of those visitors at some point were no longer unique, that it was someone who came up multiple days, or, you know, they stopped counting people coming into the draft after a while. And so that number could be inflated, like when you go to a stadium and they go, oh, it's a sellout. And it's like, well, I can see it's 90% sold out. But I'm not surprised that it's a very regional one. I'm not surprised Wisconsin fans showed up to fill it. But I'm also not surprised that people are like, you said flying to Green Bay. That's only if you have a private jet. I had multiple players that I talked to that said that, like, even if they were in this draft, they wouldn't come because what a pain in the butt it would be to get there. And then when you're going to fly into Milwaukee, then you probably still would drive up to Green Bay and drive back because the hotels can be more affordable. So Green Bay was never built to truly hold 600,000. 600,000 coming in and out makes a lot of sense, and that's why I think it worked so well, is that there wasn't 600,000 people there. It was 600,000 people, mostly from maybe probably 90% Wisconsin, a little bit Illinois, and a little bit Minnesota, and that's why it worked. So in the long run, and honestly, best case scenario, because if 600,000 people actually tried to come to Green Bay, it would have been an abject nightmare.
Yeah, and I noticed on a couple of levels. First of all, my traffic snarls were non-existent. Like, I thought they were going to, and I left a couple times because Paul and the girls were down in Madison for a gymnastics meet. So I had to come home and take the dogs out and feed the cat, you know, all those important jobs that I have. And so I would do our show, come home, and then drive back later in the day. And not once, like, I put in Google Maps, not once was the time in red. Not once. I have a buddy who has two kids that are on Maddie's track team, and he drives Uber for, like, extra money. And he did have Pac-Man Jones for 2 days.
Oh.
But, you know, Pac-Man let him, you know, he's like, well, I don't know if it was like that movie Collateral where Jamie Foxx drives Tom Hanks around. I mean, Tom Hanks has other Tom Cruise has other activities planned that night.
Yeah.
But he took other fares too. He said he was really disappointed with how many Uber drive, or like how many drives he did. So again, I don't want to take away from the fact that the crowd shots looked amazing. But I was a lot like Brian Gutekunst, and he and I don't always agree, but we both took in the draft the same way. We went into Lambeau Field, we did our jobs, he picked people, I wrote about them. And then that was it. Like, my exposure to the campus was looking out the window or looking at the television. I did not, and Paula was giving me a hard time for not even walking around to see it, but, like, I was too busy writing the Baron Sorrell life story. I just had other stuff to do.
And I want to talk about him and Golden, some draft gold that was not necessarily planned by the Packers, but we'll do that on the other side because Ryan's yelling at me that we have just ruined the clock. So we'll come back, talk more.
Well, it fits right in on this time.
Well, and speaking of fit right in, to the angry folks on social media, we'll stop talking about the city of Green Bay and haircuts. We'll get deep into football knowledge next on Wilde and Tausch, the Jim Matt Molly takeover.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Wilde and Tausch, the Jim Matt Molly takeover. We are presented by Coors Light. The Mountain Blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
That's Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. And primetime Laura Shine behind the glass. We're in the Everlight Solar Studio. We do have Jason Wilde for a little bit longer, up until 11 o'clock basically here on Wilde and Tausch. And Jason, you know, your fans expect hardcore football talks. So no more
Talk about Green Bay in the city. No more.
Have they not
haircuts.
Listened to our show? Are they not familiar with Mark Gerald Tauscher?
Look, I'll tell you what. The best thing that's happened to your show is us doing it because we got a lot of people just mad.
Yeah, they want you back.
Yes.
We're glad you joined us.
Yes.
Because there's riots out on the street right now.
Yeah. So the show is known as a bastion for only Packers talk, strict hardcore Packers talk. So I'm going to ask the question. I just thought the actual Packers draft from your perspective, Wildy, between Matthew Golden and Baron Sorrell, those two stories were fantastic. And I believe it was I'd listened to a lot of post-draft podcasts. I believe it was an Athletic podcast that Dane Brugler was saying that when he talked to players from Texas, it's a common question. You say, hey, you could take one guy with you to the NFL. The answer for every single Texas player was Baron Sorrell. And obviously Matthew Golden got him as well. So I'll let you talk about the talent is still TBD. I actually think if I'm betting on the two guys to contribute this year from this draft, I would bet on Golden and Sorrell more than anyone else. But also they're great stories and seem like fun people to be around.
Yeah, so LaFleur said the same thing, that they had a couple of different guys in from Texas and that he likes to ask that question, and that was the answer that he got. And so, you know, like you could see from our interaction with Baron that there's a passion there. You can see why teammates would gravitate to him. I'm working on a story for Channel 3000, and you guys know me. I'm kind of a touchy-feely type. but look, there's so many measurables, right, for athleticism, even though Goody, before the draft, claimed he doesn't
really. We did a whole thing on this.
What's an RAS score? Well, we have our own version of that. So you do it.
Jason, that was so. We did a whole segment on how condescending it was because he acted like he didn't know what RAS was. And then he described. Essentially, they just have RAS with their own initials on it.
Yeah, and considering it was my question, I was somewhat irritated by that.
I would be too, yeah.
Because, look, there are guys that have really – and in fact, Isaiah Simmons is another one of those guys with a gigantic RAS score. Goody cares about that. Call it whatever you want, but he cares about that. But my point is that there's all those ways to measure athleticism, for one. There's obviously – when you look at film, you can see what a player does in his production. What you cannot measure is dedication of the game, love of the game, and the ability to get through adversity. And, you know, I'm probably obnoxious about this as a parent, but I talk about it with the girls all the time because you're going to deal with adversity. You know, you're not going to get the score you wanted at gymnastics. I mean, you're going to miss shots in basketball. You're going to, you know, have a race and track where you don't run at the speed or hit the height you're expecting in pole vaulting. How do you deal with that? Because you don't want your failures to beat you twice. And when Goody was talking about that, it really resonated with me because I do think – you know, finding out what people are made of and how they handle adversity. Look, I hate to pick on this guy, but like Romeo Doubs, yes. After what he did last year, like if I'm the Packers, I know he made a mistake. And I'm not saying you should be crucified for mistakes, but that sets off an enormous alarm bell for me of how's this guy going to deal with adversity? Again, because last time, he didn't show up for work. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you... I never had seen that in the NFL. I've seen people hold out for contracts and stuff, but I've never seen someone who was so unhappy with their role that they not only didn't come to work, they didn't tell anyone they weren't coming to work. And of course, what happens? I saw Matt Steinman of The Athletic went through all of the pictures that were posted by Evan Siegel, the Packers photographer, from the first day of in-person off-season program. And he pointed out that Romeo Doubs wasn't in any of those pictures. Now, I don't know what's going on with Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs might have, you know, his wife might be having another baby. He might have a sick relative, whatever it might be. But because of what happened, of course I think, huh, wonder if he's just unhappy that they've drafted more wide receivers, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's fair or not, that is where your brain goes. And so my point is that I am fascinated by this angle, and I want to talk to some more guys about it because he said it about Golden. He said it about Sorrell. He said it about another guy, too. And I think that is really crucial to whether a guy succeeds in the NFL. Maybe not as much as his athleticism or his on-field production, but it is a puzzle piece. And so they picked, I kept hearing Goody, and you guys know I asked him about this before the draft, about does this guy love the game? And we both know, we all know, that there are guys that play football because they're good at it, not because they love it. So those are all parts of figuring out, will this guy succeed or not?
And Jason, just going off of the voluntary workouts, I did see that Christian Watson was not at practice. However, he was in the building, which I thought was interesting. What do you think, and I know that you're not in the business of predicting things, but what do you think that this wide receiver room is going to look like this season?
I love that I have this reputation now where people say that. Tausch always says that. I know you don't make predictions. Look.
Fair.
It's undeniably fair. I'm not saying it's not fair. I just love that now.
He says he loves it.
We put that caveat out there before we even bothered to ask.
We know you won't answer the question, but let's give you a jumping off point.
You know, that's the best part of it is that that's like the polite way to say, I know your answer is going to kind of suck because you're going to refuse to answer it, but
no,
would you try?
Not at all.
With all due respect.
Yeah. No. That's another one. Yeah, that's exactly what
no offense,
is.
But.
I mean, yes. I could just another be like, hey, one. Jason, spin us a yarn. like,
so
who you want?
I would say this is, I don't want to speak for Matt LaFleur, but I think their hope is that Christian Watson comes back in November, has some production, but doesn't like have a stretch, and as much as it would help their team in 2025, like if he were to have a stretch like he had during that three-game window of his rookie year, remember that, where he had like seven touchdowns in like four games or something insane? Like, I think they would love for him to be back and contribute and help them win, but not go off so they could sign him to a one-year deal for the 2026 season. Because he doesn't have much of a market coming off the ACL, and then they could keep him. Again, I don't know what's going to happen, but if he doesn't come back until mid-November, that is not great for his free agent marketability. I don't think they're bringing back Romeo Doubs. I think they're going to say, hey, man, go out there and ball out, and you can make yourself a ton of money, but it ain't going to be from us. So, you know, get your what together and play well. I still think that they believe that both Wicks and Reed can be special. Now, they have to stop dropping the football, and the fact both of them drop more passes individually than the Eagles did as an entire team has to change. But I will support my guy Wicks by saying he had one game where he dropped three balls in one game, but in the second half of the season, if you check his drop numbers, in the last like eight games, he didn't drop a pass. So I look for guys that fix the things they're doing wrong, and that is an encouraging sign from him. On the flip side, I like Jaden Reed a lot as a player and as a dude. I'm not as huge of a fan of the pizza that he endorses. I don't think it's very good. It's a frozen pizza. I'm more of a Palermo's guy. But you can't disappear to the degree that he did down the stretch. I mean, he was a non-factor down the stretch. They cannot have that happen again.
So, Jason, in this draft, the Packers, obviously, wide receiver heavy in the first three rounds. Is there a maybe not a player, but like a position group you think that they should have addressed more heavily? Like, cornerback waited till the seventh round to finally take a DB.
Yeah. So I wrote about that on Channel 3000, and I think I'm going to try and finish answering Molly's question because I could see by her face that I didn't really answer it. You know, I don't know how big of a role Golden is going to have, right? Like, you get drafted in the first round, the expectation is you contribute significantly right away. And I think that's fair. I don't know what to make of Savion Williams. Like, if we're going to, I think it's very dangerous to compare him to Cordarrelle Patterson and Deebo Samuel when he hasn't played a snap in the NFL yet. But he does have a diversified skill set that I think Matt LaFleur is going to be excited about utilizing. But again, I don't know how that's all going to shake out, and I'm not in the business of making predictions. Now, to answer Matt's question, which I am mesmerized by your hair today. It looks like it's amazing. It's got so much body. It's so full.
Who has better hair, Matt Hamilton or Matt LaFleur?
Matt Hamilton.
Oh, let's go.
And there's more of it, too.
Well, that Jason, that's my whole thing is that, like, Matt's just the LaFleur cut is a cut that, like, 70% of Packer fans can't have. And like, if you have the thick hair to be able to grow out, like Scalzo when he grew his hair out, Matt Hamilton, if you have the ability
to grow out Molly Brown,
but yes. as a guy, if you have the ability to grow out thick hair that looks good, like that's what I'm jealous of, because the LaFleur cut, I feel like 45, or I would say, I don't know, every 45-year-old plus guy with hair can get that haircut.
Yeah, I'm starting to thin up top, so I can't do that. I did do, and by the way, didn't we promise the YouTube dwellers we weren't going to talk about hair, and now I brought us back to that.
But I had to just get that take out there, because that's what's impressive about Matt's hair, is just the sheer volume of it, as someone who lacks volume in hair.
Yeah, I did grow out my hair when Paula said that I would look so stupid if I shaved my head when she was going through chemo, when she was dealing with breast cancer, that I said, okay, then I'm going to grow it out, and she was rightfully embarrassed. I said, well, you should have let me shave my head then. But to your point about the way the draft fell, I do believe Goody when he said on Friday, and I didn't expect to be up here talking to you about two wide receivers. And maybe he didn't expect to be even talking about one, right? But he takes Golden on night one and then Savion Williams on night two. And to me, that, and I did a story on this on Channel 3002. Like, if you look at how the draft fell at corner, right? I mean, the Michigan kid, Will Johnson, with the knee issues, fell all the way to 47. There were two first-round corners and only three second-round corners. And then there were nine corners in the third round, okay? So this was not a great top-of-the-corner class draft. On top of that, the guy that the Packers had in for a visit, Revell, who played at East Carolina, who they, I think, really liked, but he's coming off an ACL, he went 76th, and they took, at 87, Savion Williams. And on top of that, they discussed Savion Williams at 54 in the second round when they took Anthony Belton, the behemoth offensive lineman. And so, again, I don't want to speak for Goody, but when you have a guy that you think about taking in the second round and he's still there in the third round, regardless of the position, if you thought that highly of him to take him 30 picks earlier, then you take him when you have the chance in the third round.
And I agree with that philosophy. My team did that too, and I think if you get the guy. The one thing so Goody said during the offseason that this was there's urgency this offseason. And then I look at their free agency. They didn't do a lot to help the team. So obviously this believes the Packers are doing a lot of reheating their own nachos here. They believe their own hype and all their players are going to get better because they got a new defensive line coach. Because when I look at this roster or at this draft class, I would bet on Golden and Sorrell as the two guys who will contribute year one. Belton is, I think, a good pick. I don't know anything about Oliver, Brinson, Robinson, or Williams. They very well could be good future players and future replacements. Mm-hmm. But as far as who's going to help the team next season, I see two guys, and I pull up The Athletic, and I did a or I asked, you know, ChatGPT to do a composite of all the Packers' grades, and they came out to a B, but The Athletic gave them a C+, and The Ringer gave them a C+, and the line that I thought best encompassed the whole thing was, although this is a fine haul for the Pack, I'm not sure it's a group that will put the team over the top, and I'll add the caveat of next year. So I don't have any great takes on all these players outside of, I think, Sorrell and Golden will contribute right away. But it seems like they didn't pick a lot of guys that are going to help this team be better next season. They could all help in a few years, which is important. But the Packers, I thought, were trying to go win the Super Bowl this year. And their free agent moves and their draft says, we just think we'll coach them better and we'll be better next year.
Well, certainly the defensive line, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they did take three guys. Yep. They were all on day three. But they did take three guys. And I think the help with the hope with Brinson is that he can be the T.J. Slayton. Plug him in for Slayton. You know, T.J. he was a good run defender. He was a knucklehead, right? I mean, he had that critical penalty in the playoff game. Like, I don't think that they were ever going to re-sign him. But you're right. Like, is Sorrell going to be a guy that's going to get, like, six sacks for them? Probably not, right? I mean, but look, in fairness to Goody, if you invest, you have four first round picks in your defensive line rotation, right? Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, and LVN, who our fans tell us is not good enough to even deserve a nickname. but and look, I you know, LVN is not one of my guys. I don't know him. The conversations that we have had, they're very, like, surface level. Like, I love the guys that really, like, open up and give you insight both into who they are and to football. Like, every time I talk to Xavier McKinney, I feel like I'm smarter. That's how I felt when I was around, like, Woodson. Mm-hmm. When I talk to LVN, I feel it's transactional. Like, I needed to say this, and I did it, and now I'm done. So I don't want to hold that against him, but I haven't seen anything from him that gives me this incredible hope that he's going to explode in year three. Now, in fairness to him, though, he did play with a broken thumb all last year. They lined him up on the right side because of it all the time, which means he's going against the left tackle. So maybe that did factor in. Or maybe they just missed on him and should have taken Will McDonald, who grew up in Milwaukee and played at Iowa State and had 10.5 sacks for the Jets 2 picks later after they took LVN a couple years ago. So, but they, you know, Goody put his draft picks where his mouth was. Mm-hmm. He said he believed they had the guys in the building to generate a pass rush. And based on how he drafted at the top in the first 2 days, he didn't reach for anybody at that spot, and he didn't reach for anybody at corner. So you could say he was true to his draft board, but he also did not reach to try and get guys in positions that he needed.
And Jason, I know you got to go. I just want to say this: like last year,
you
I believe,
guys need to go. Well, I got plenty of time. I'm supposed to be on the air for these.
Well,
three
I was
hours.
Told you had to be a hard out at 11, is what Ryan told me. But
hold on, Jason, you asked me in the talkback, could I be out by 11?
Yeah, that's not a hard out. That's,
oh, come on.
That's a reality of being on this show. Like, you say 11, and then you stay till like 11:05, and then you're not pissed off. But go ahead.
So I want to follow up on this. Like, last year, I believe the talk from Goody was, like, we like all our receivers. Like, we have a good group. Maybe we have four ones. We have a bunch of guys. So are we going to be sitting here next year, and the Packers are going to be spending a lot of draft capital on the D-line saying, we were wrong on the D-line?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, Rashawn Gary has not lived up to, what was it, $96 million they gave him?
Yeah, and then he's drafted something high, ridiculous. Too. Like, so high yep. draft capital and cash.
Right, and I don't have anything against him per se, but, like, those are the expectations that come with being a high pick who then gets a high-dollar second contract. And the fact that he has never had a double-digit sack season, like, he's Clay Matthews has lapped him in terms of production and impact, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, he tore his ACL in Detroit a few years ago. I get it. I'm not trying to pick on him, but you need to do more. And I would hope that Rashawn Gary, when he looks in the mirror, says the same thing to himself. Hey, I got to do more. I got to be more I got to find a way. I can't. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, look at how many times he was right there and the quarterback got rid of the ball. Yeah, that happens. I'm sure that happens to Myles Garrett and Max Crosby, too.
Yeah.
But they also get to the guy before he throws it more. So, look, that group needs to rise up. We all saw it from Philadelphia. How much more diversified and creative you can be with your defense if your front four can generate pressure without having to bring simulated fire zone pressures and all the other stuff that Jeff Hafley had to do. And, again, kudos to Jeff Hafley. Because, as Matt LaFleur has said multiple times, I think he said it when we were on stage with him at the Tundra Trio on Thursday as well, like, they went in with one plan for their defense, and they ran a defense that was not what they planned. And to me, that is the mark of a really good coach,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Jeff Hafley did. He adjusted to his personnel, he adjusted to the shortcomings, and their defense ended up in the top 10 in both yards and scoring. Which is pretty remarkable considering how disappointing their pass rush was from their front four.
Well, Jason, can I ask you a question since we have you until 11:05?
No, absolutely not.
Netflix released the preview for the Favre movie, and good Lord, just reading the captions, I can't wait to watch this. So wrap it up quick because I got to see this. It seems like a takedown. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, I just had one question for you, Jason. So Adam Schefter joined Unsportsmanlike this morning where he said following this draft for the Packers that he believes that there's more of a chance that Jaire Alexander will be returning to the Packers this next season. What are your thoughts on that?
Molly, I love you. I am so sick of this topic.
I know, but I had to ask.
And here, no, I understand. You're doing your job. I get it. Here's why. Because for some reason, all the reporting that has been out there on this. Some of it mine, some of it Rob Domofsky's, some of it Tom Silverstein's, has been very consistent, which is they do not intend to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He doesn't want to be back. They don't want him back. And then, you know, Good or LaFleur mentioned that he took part in the Zoom calls that were the first week of the off-season program. And then I got people saying, oh, I think he's coming back. Look, I'm not saying it's a 0% chance that he's going to be back on this team. But I think you have to trust what you're hearing. And this is the phrase I keep saying. Look, I understand there are fans that want him back. You know who else wants him back? Me. I like covering him. Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship. I've told that story about how he came up with the quote for the back of Sydney's basketball team's T-shirts that I made. I like covering him. I'm one of the few guys he trusts in the locker room. There's about three of us. Domofsky, Matt Schneidman, and me, I think, are the three that he talks to regularly. So, of course, I want him back. I am not trying to run him out of town. But, again, you saw Brian Gutekunst and the frustration he had. You definitely saw the frustration that Matt LaFleur had. And you saw it with David Bakhtiari. This is David Bakhtiari 2.0. What they don't want are guys that they don't know if they're going to play from week to week. And whether that's fair or not, I would say it's not. But that's how they think. And so I still don't expect him back. Now, I did not get a text back from Matt LaFleur because I did want to know, was Jair there in person? I don't want to just rely on Matt Schneidman going through all those pictures from Evan Siegel. But the fact that he's not in a single picture leads me to believe that he's not there in person and that they probably agreed between John Thornton, his agent, and the Packers, hey, until we figure this out, you know, you don't have to come. It's voluntary. Maybe they even said, we'll still pay your workout bonus so you're not getting cheated out of money. But I think in the end, they're still going to move on from him. Now, if Adam has changed his tune, I would say this about Adam. Adam is not just throwing spaghetti against the wall. So I'm assuming that he had a conversation with Jair's agent and said, and maybe the conversation was, well, you know, I think they're warming up to the idea. I will leave you with this, and I've said mm-hmm. this a couple times. I talked to someone who works in the building like a month and a half ago, and they were like, hey, Jason, he can still play. He's still a really good player. And I said, when he plays. And the guy said, you're right. You're right. I said, look, I get it. There is talent there. He's still only 28 years old, but it's pretty clear that people are pretty frustrated. Don't forget how they felt when he wasn't available. And I still think that thing in Chicago where he played 10 snaps and took himself out after saying he could go after warming up before the game at Soldier Field. Maybe they're conveniently forgetting that, but I know there were a lot of people in that building that were really pissed off about that.
Jason, we'll let you finally go on that note. We appreciate your time.
Well, now I can't wait to hear about this Brett Favre
go watch it.
Takedown. Is it out already?
So no, the preview was just released. Maybe Brian can send you. I sent it to the Jim, Matt, and Molly because we're going to play the audio for it because seeing the captions.
I got some work to do. I'll just listen to the show.
There you go. Yeah, you can listen to the show. We're going to play the audio. We're going to play the captions and do all that for you for the preview of the Netflix movie around Brett Favre. I saw parts of he thought he could do whatever he wants. He seemed out of control. And I'm like, oh, I gotta watch this preview because maybe finally someone will reveal maybe who Brett Favre was with the Green Bay Packers. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Will Dean Tausch, the takeover with Jim, Matt, and Molly continues. We're in the Everlight Solar Studio. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton. Ryan says we have to go to break as much as possible, so we're going right back. No, we're going to go to break quick because I blame Jason Wilde and Ryan, not any of us in the Everlight Solar Studio.
I mean, I asked the question. He said he was good until 11:05. It's his show.
I was trying to be so nice to get him on at a reasonable time because we got to him late. I was like, I don't want him to late. be here too long. I don't want us to be 2 segments behind on the takeover of Woldy and Tausch. And look where we are now.
All right. So we'll keep it tight. We'll keep it tight here like LaFleur's haircut. Again, Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton, Jim Rutledge. We are on ESPN Wisconsin. If you're listening to today's show, you can listen back on the ESPN Wisconsin app. You can chime in on the Cardinals Talk and text line 844-770-3776. List is more. So a couple different texts come through when Woldy was talking about Romeo Doubs. One, like, will he make the team? Can we trade him? I'm going to tell you this. You know who's got less trade value than Jair Alexander? Romeo Doubs. Like, other teams are, like, and all fans are guilty of this, but are people aware that other NFL teams also know things about their players? Like, Romeo Doubs would get you basically nothing. Fifth, sixth round pick?
And do you think that's just because the off, well, I guess kind of on the field, but the issues that have happened just stemming from last year?
And Kyle, like, he's not, like, why would you want to get rid of him? The reason you want to get rid of him is why he doesn't have trade value. And also, yeah, it's not like he's a stud. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're trading.
Based on play alone, you might get a third. But, like,
that's high.
No.
You don't think so?
No, because he's 2 years.
Especially last year, he's coming off of injuries. Like,
he's into his third year.
He had multiple concussions last year, too. Like, yeah.
That's true.
Based on play, you'd be a fourth or a fifth, maybe conditionally. Mm-hmm. And then with this, sixth.
Okay. The reason I said fourth is because you said fifth with the. So. Yeah, I was just trying to make a comparison. Like,
no, I get it.
Outside of the on-the-field and off-the-field dramatics.
Lil Too Real on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel says, Romeo is the best wide receiver we have.
Not last year.
I'll take Jaden Reed over Doubs any day.
Yeah, we'll take Reed as well.
Yeah. But so Doubs, 59 catches, 674, and 8 touchdowns as a rookie. And you go, okay, we're excited. And he was a fourth-round pick. I would imagine, so then last year, 46 catches, 601, 4 touchdowns, less games. He's the injury concern now, plus whatever the off-the-field stuff is. But then he's 2 years, Matt, to your point, like production-wise, maybe, but now he's 2 years into his deal. So now the team has to make a decision, you know, what are you doing with his contract in the future? So, like, if you're trading Doubs, you're trading him for 30 cents on the dollar. So the Packers are going to keep him. You're not going to get anything for him. It's the same thing. Anytime you want your favorite player traded, understand that the reason you want them traded is the reason why other teams are not going to pay full freight for them. And I'm not saying Romeo Doubs is a fine player. Mm-hmm. And I think the Packers would be smart to keep him because you don't know what Golden's going to be.
Right.
I think he's going to be a Jaden Reed type impact for his first season. And maybe he makes the jump that Reed didn't make last year. But if I'm betting on it, Golden doesn't profile as a Justin Jefferson or any of even a Devontae Adams. Like, he might profile as a Greg Jennings level receiver. We have a couple years where he's your number one, but I don't think he's profiling as your future star receiver. I think when you have Golden and Reed, and let's say whether, and then you have Tucker Kraft, and then you have maybe Wicks finally shows up and gets production, because Wicks' production has been,
or that 6'4", 220 pound Savion Williams.
But that might be a year away too.
Yeah,
I've seen some highlights of Golden guys. Woo! Looking pretty good.
You watch all his game tape or just the highlights?
Highlights, come on.
I think he's going to be. Jaden Reed had a good rookie season.
Got me excited. For sure. If, like, he ends up being Jaden Reed rookie season, I think I'll be happy.
You'll definitely be happy. 8 touchdowns and that way. Or
that was Doubs. But did Jaden Reed
so
had rookie
700
season?
Plus yards.
Yeah. Like, that's a fair expectation to set for a guy who was picked 23rd mm-hmm. overall. Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan. We're picked in front of him. Am I missing?
Emeka Buka.
So third receiver, and he had the same grade as Luther Burden who was picked in the higher part of the second round. So he's kind of viewed as a guy that Jaden Reed was a second round pick. In this draft, Jaden Reed might have been a first round pick. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Woldy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Woldy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.